Hi, I'm Jeff Jones. I'm a director at Microsoft's Trustworthy Computing Group and a 25-year security guy. So just this year, I've now been 25 years in the industry, and I'll be speaking with you today about making a case for security optimism. And really the context for that is, I think like you, I go out and keep up on what's going on in the industry, and recently you see a lot of strong headlines, things about the threat landscape, and I go and see talks at conferences or whatever, a lot of things about advanced persistent threat, those sorts of things, and it can be kind of scary. And I think in general, our industry is known for the scary side of things, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt is typically associated. Got to thinking about that and thinking how that sometimes, that context sometimes overshadows real progress being made across the industry. And so just really want to highlight some of the things across the industry that are happening that, taken in aggregate, are encouraging, right? So it's not all doom and gloom. So in framing the conversation, I'd like to use a model that we've been talking about for the past several years that grew out of a paper we wrote on end-to-end trust that takes a broad view of the industry, but breaks it down in three general categories. So one is in the center computing and how devices and cloud services are developed. The idea that those are built on stacks that we need to build trust in, so hardware, software, the data layer, and then identity representing people. The first layer is the fundamentals of how you get those built with more trust. The second area is focused on management or operational security. So particularly in today's world of how cloud computing is becoming more and more prominent, more and more the way a lot of people will be doing computing in the future. That IT security, data center security has always been important, but it's just more important than ever. And then the third area, which I think is unique to what our group talks about or how we talk about progress in the industry or what's happening, is really what I think of as the context or the influences. And that is the social requirements, the market or economic forces, and the political or legislative environment. And to just add a little bit more to that, it's basically that you can have some great technology, but if there's not social acceptance, then it won't be used. So when you look at particular security challenges, similarly, people could want it, the technology could exist, but if there's no way to make it succeed in the market, there's no economic model for it, then again, the idea could die on the vine. So across those things, the way it can be built, the fundamentals, management, and influences. By no means would the examples I'd use here are meant to be the 10 best things or the top or anything more representative. First thing I'd highlight is UEFI. So it's in the world of standards. We're, of course, implementing it in Windows 8, so I can talk to specifics of how utility it provides there. But in general, as a security guy, you talk to people in the security industry, and they'll say, security is only as strong as the weakest link. And one of those links in the past has been in around the boot process, particularly exploited by rootkits and things, so they can make themselves persist through boot. UEFI, long-needed replacement for BIOS, combined with, in its latest instance, has secure boot in there. And then we've done some work to add what we call measured boot. So we can look at the times it takes to load the initial drivers and time it and then store that and save it cryptographically. So in later, when a machine boots, you can verify it hadn't been tampered with, hasn't been tainted. And that creates this great platform for future uses that haven't even been implemented yet. So that's a security rooted in hardware. It's a great example of progress, and I think over time you'll see more things that take advantage of that, knowing that higher assurance state when the machine boots. The second thing, which I'll only touch on briefly because we hit it a lot, is Secure Development Lifecycle, or SDL. The thing I'll mention about it, because we've been promoting that as our method of driving progress for a while, is that we're starting to make progress out in the industry in two ways that are in that area of economic forces and social demand. So customers are demanding SDL. So we look at the government of India in their most recent five-year plan. They actually put wording in that require secure development processes in developing software. And so that's showing that there's a value, there's a market demand for it. And of course, that that also lines up with the political environment for them. And there are other instances of that. Last year, a standard came out, ISO 27034, part of the 27001 series, and it specifically has security development guidance for application development in there. And that is good in that it now allows, if a company wanted to require a product or some custom development be done, they've got some common language that both sides can use and drive from that standard. The area that I find really interesting is this management and operations, because a lot of that, that's where I think a lot of cloud computing falls. Two big benefits there. Because a lot of the typical data center stuff is being outsourced, it allows the scarce resources that are out there to be concentrated in some of the big providers. And if they implement best practices, that means those best practices are being available to all the customers at a greater scale than was possible before. One of the things that we highlight in this area that's really cool is the Australian DSD has published some best practice guidance. It's fairly simple, what they call the DSD Top 4. They analyzed different types of mitigations, and they found that if you implement just their four top recommendations, it mitigated over 85% of the types of attacks that they had been dealing with for several years. So that's the type of best practice that companies can do in their own data centers. But if you also do in the public data centers of the cloud, it provides that benefit to everyone. The other thing I'd mention in this area of operational security, which people don't think, when I tell you, your reaction will probably be, I don't really think of that in relation to security. And that is application stores, app stores. The thing I love about it is it's one of those things that my 8-year-old knows what an app store is. It's where he gets Angry Birds or whatever. But they don't necessarily think of it and go, oh, that's a great security innovation. And in reality, it's a change in software distribution model. So the old model gets software out there any number of ways. They get just installed on a machine, what you might think of as sometimes described as sideloading now. But if you get it through a store, it allows four potential benefits, and it depends on the vendor or the store implementer to fully utilize those. But those are, you can set minimum standards. So when it comes to getting in, for example, our Windows 8 store, we can actually specify logo requirements for getting in there that implement this part of the SDL, or you have these compiler flags on, and you must do that if you're going to go through the store. And any vendor can set their own that way, tuned to what they want to achieve. The second thing is it allows software scanning or review. If you're a software developer, you submit an app for the store, I can put whatever process I want to scan that software, make sure it doesn't have hidden backdoor malware, any sort of thing like that, and provide a sort of curation for all of my customers in the store, and that's a huge benefit. So the other two is remediation and keeping things up to date. And those are shared not just by app stores, but basically any app delivered via clouds or cloud services. And those are super valuable. If you look at around vulnerability disclosure and the whole industry of security advisories or security bulletins, they're really aimed at this one goal of letting people know about some issue they need to go and get updated and update their software, like screaming from the rooftops, go get this batch and apply it for everything. With the App Store or cloud services, you can just push it out and everybody gets the update. And you know, there's not even any really need to have that security advisory necessary, because you just make sure the software is updated. So that's a great benefit.